It's Saturday, November 24th, 2018, from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. This is Literally This Week. Hello, this is Keith F. Shovlin, publisher of AS21 Media, here to bring you the literary news for Thanksgiving week, 2018.
Sunday.
Top story. From Bleeding Cool, serious allegations made about the last days of Stan Lee. Before his death on Monday, Bleeding Cool has been covering a very difficult 2 years for Stan Lee following the death of his wife Joan Lee in 2017. There have been allegations of elder abuse, harassment, court proceedings, police involvement, and social media accounts. There has also been a variety of businesses using his name for a variety of reasons, with varying degrees of understanding of what Stan did and didn't know. It began with an allegation by LA journalist, media personality, and former friend of the Lee family, Alan Duke. Duke says he had learned that Joan Lee had been the subject of physical abuse and that he had spoken to witnesses who claimed that this was a result of action taken by Stan and Joan's daughter J.C. Lee and that he called the police. However, after police visited, no action was taken. Another explanation was given by the family and alleged witnesses did not repeat their story to the police. Accusations against Stan Lee from alleged nursing staff were sent to Duke and to Daily Mail newspaper, though again, no further action was taken by authorities. As a result of the sequence of events, Stan Lee's then-business manager Max Anderson was ousted by J.C. Lee and Stan's new associate K.M. Morgan. Morgan himself would later be ousted with court order protections and allegations of elder abuse. Also in the news on Sunday from The Guardian, never fails to disappoint, Roxy Jasenko book pulped after cover misprint. The Australian socialite and businesswoman Roxy Jasenko has had to pulp the first copies of her latest book after a quote on the cover mistakenly said she never fails to disappoint. From The Bookseller, genre-bending biography of Joseph Conrad wins 2018's Condell History Prize. Harvard professor Maya Jasanoff has won 2018's $75,000 Condell History Prize for her genre-bending and immaculately researched account of the life of Polish-born British writer Joseph Conrad. From Publishers Weekly, how libraries can help readers become writers. The Cuyahoga County Public Library's Writer Residence Program demonstrates the library's increasingly critical role in our literary ecosystem. And finally on Sunday from LitHub, K. Eldred Salter, my husband's choice to be a writer was the hardest of his life, on the notes and drafts of James Salter.
Monday.
Top story from Publishers Weekly, in South Korea, booksellers look for ways to compete. Booksellers across South Korea have suffered slowing sales for nearly a decade, and the fear is that the smaller stores will begin to close. Like the U.S., South Korea saw a boom in bookstore chains in the 1980s, though fixed book price laws have helped brick-and-mortar stores compete against online retailers and keep revenue somewhat stable. Booksellers complain that there are numerous loopholes that enable rampant discounting. Meanwhile, online shopping has become increasingly popular, and bookstores are investing heavily in technology to hold on to customers. To help shore up booksellers' morale, the South Korean government began sponsoring a National Bookstore Day last year. It was held for the second time on November 9th. This year's event included an academic conference on the future of bookselling, as well as an award ceremony and lunch, at which more than a dozen booksellers were honored for their contributions to culture and bestowed with the title Proud Bookseller. Writers were also honored, with Young Chang, author of the best-selling story collection Shoko's Smile, named Author of the Year. As part of a celebration, Dae-chun Park, chairman of the Korea Federation of Bookstore Association, read a multi-part declaration outlining the priorities of the organization for the coming year. The top goal, Park said, is to convince politicians to amend the fixed book price law to close the discounting loopholes. Other priorities include working with publishers to establish a consistent discount structure for bookstores that does not favor the chains, modernizing book distribution, which remains fractured and inefficient in many parts of the country, and assisting independent bookstores in their efforts to remodel their stores and make them more competitive. Also in the news on Monday, from The Bookseller, political chaos in wake of withdrawal deal concerning and unacceptable, say trade bodies. Industry bodies have expressed concern over mounting political instability following the publication of Theresa May's long-awaited draft Brexit deal. The Publishers Association called the current political uncertainty unacceptable for business of all kinds, including publishers. The Society of Authors said it welcomed certain provisions of the deal, but warned of the heightened risk of a no-deal Brexit following the political turmoil. From NorthJersey.com, Barnes & Noble's first prototype store in New Jersey opening in Hackensack. The new concept store at the Shops at Riverside and Hackensack features a sleek design, a smaller footprint, and, of course, a self-serve kiosk for tech-savvy book lovers who want to browse their favorite titles on their own. The revamped store will replace the mall's much larger Barnes & Noble and is one of only 8 nationwide. From the World Cities Culture Forum, Major International Report highlights a new direction for culture in world cities. Launched at the 2018 World Cities Culture Summit in San Francisco, the World Cities Culture Report 2018, supported by Bloomberg Philanthropies, is the most comprehensive report ever published about culture and the role it plays in shaping life in major cities worldwide. The report is based on extensive data and practice research to reveal how 35 major global cities are in the vanguard of policymaking. And finally, on Monday from LitHub, You Can't Rely on Inspiration, Essential Writing Advice from J.G. Ballard. J.G. Ballard was an extraordinary prolific writer, and for the majority of his career, he managed this while also being a single father of 3. His wife died in 1964, and Ballard never remarried, though he did meet a woman a few years later who would become his long-term partner. This in itself is a good lesson to those of us who cite the stresses and responsibilities of our lives for never finishing that novel. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by...
This podcast and other podcasts of the AS21 Podcast Network are brought to you by Audible. Sign up today at audibletrial.com/AS21 and get your first audiobook for free. Choose from 180,000 titles, then download to your computer, your Kindle, your smartphone, any device that has the Audible app, and you can take your reading with you. This past week, I finished The Princess of Mars by Edgar Rice Burroughs, then followed it up by The Death of Expertise by Tom Nichols, but thanks to the Thanksgiving holiday, I didn't get much reading done. But coming up in the week ahead, I'm sure to finish Death of Expertise, then go right back to the Barsoom series by Edgar Rice Burroughs with the next book in the series, The Gods of Mars. And I'm following that up by Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance by Angela Duckworth. All these great titles are available on Audible today. Choose from 180,000 titles. I'm sure you will find something there that you will love. Plus, once you sign up, that first audiobook you get is yours forever. You never lose it, whether you stick with the service or not. Then each month, for a low monthly fee, you get another audiobook credit and you can add another book to your collection. Plus, you get access to Audible Originals, top flight storytelling in podcast format, available free to all Audible members. So consider signing up today, audibletrial.com/AS21, and you could take your reading anywhere. Now back to the show.
Tuesday.
Top story from NBC News. Michelle Wolf blasts White House Correspondents Association for nixing comedy for historian Ron Chernow. The famed biographer Ron Chernow, author of comprehensive tomes about Alexander Hamilton, George Washington, and Ulysses S. Grant, will be the featured speaker at the annual White House Correspondents Association dinner next spring, the organization announced Monday. I'm delighted that Ron will share his lively, deeply researched perspectives on American politics and history at the 2019 White House Correspondents Dinner. Olivier Knox, the president of the White House Correspondents Association, or WHCA, said in a statement, "As we celebrate the importance of a free and independent news media to the health of the Republic, I look forward to hearing Ron place this unusual moment in the context of American history. It's a departure from tradition for the nearly 100-year-old dinner, where a comedian usually headlines a roast. At this year's event in April, comedian Michelle Wolf delivered blistering criticism of President Donald Trump, who was not in attendance, and White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, who was, touching off a firestorm. Wolf responded to the news in a tweet on Monday, calling the association cowards. Also in the news, on Tuesday, from DigiDay, Facebook donates millions to fund 80 local newspaper jobs in the UK. As part of Facebook's ongoing journalism project, which launched in 2017, the social network is donating £4.5 million to fund 80 local newspaper jobs in the UK over the next 2 years. From the bookseller, Near Street joins with Google to show High Street book stock. A retail tech startup, Near Street, has partnered with Google to show online what is available in local stores, with around 60 bookshops signed up nationwide. From Deadline, Johnny Lee Miller and Comet star in Ursula K. Le Guin adaptation, 9 Lives. Screenplay comes from debut writer-director Suri Ronis and Tom Basden, who was BAFTA-nominated for Fresh Meat. Ronis will also direct. From InfoDocket, research article, Are Private Universities Exempt from Student Concerns About Textbook Costs? A Survey of Students at American University. A survey conducted in the fall of 2015 at American University in Washington, D.C., my alma mater, shows that rising textbook prices similarly affect students at an expensive private university as those at community colleges and state schools. Research on high textbook costs that has demonstrated corollary unwanted behavior changes in students, including not purchasing the book, resorting to illegal online downloads, and poor study habits, were confirmed at American University as well. And finally, on Tuesday, from LitHub, Writing Women's Pain, a Roundtable, part one of a conversation with Alethea Black, Abby Norman, Esme Weijing Wang, and more.
Wednesday.
Top story from the New York Times, James H. Billington dies, led Library of Congress into digital age. Dr. James H. Billington, the Librarian of Congress for nearly three decades, who led the nation's treasure house of knowledge into the digital age and added millions of books, films, and cultural artifacts to its historical collections, including a trove of tweets, died on Tuesday in Washington. He was 89. His daughter, Susan Harper Billington, said the cause was complications of pneumonia. Dr. Billington's death came a little more than 3 years after he retired amid mounting criticism that he had presided over a series of management and technology failures in his last years in office. He stepped down in September 2015, having planned to retire at the end of the year. He was succeeded by Dr. Carla D. Hayden, the first woman and the first African-American to lead the Library of Congress. Dr. Billington, a distinguished authority on Russian and Soviet history, was named by President Ronald Reagan in 1987 as the 13th director of a library, the repository of the American experience founded in 1800 under legislation that shifted the capital from Philadelphia to Washington. Also in the news on Wednesday, from the Bookcenter, astonishing demand for Milkman continues. Faber has experienced an astonishing demand for Anna Burns Milkman since it won the Man Booker Prize, selling 63,288 copies through Nielsen BookScan and 250,000 B-format copies out of its warehouse. From the Chicago Tribune, the Diary of a Bookseller chronicles a year in the life of a Scottish used bookstore, eccentricities and all. Sean Bytho took over the bookshop in Wigan, Scotland in 2001, just after his 31st birthday, and has kept it going ever since. The book covers a single year, 2014, of Blytho's life running the largest secondhand bookshop in Scotland, with more than 100,000 books shelved and 100 additional titles arriving each day. From the Architects newspaper, new virtual reality program could transform historic preservation. In October 2018, Switzerland-based 3D graphic software company Imverse released a public beta of its LiveMaker modeling tool. This powerful virtual reality interface allows for the transformation of 2D inputs into immersive 3D environments. From Atlas Obscura, Oxford's library once branded its sauciest books with a Greek letter. For more than 100 years, deep in a dusty enclave of the University of Oxford's Bodleian Libraries, there sat a restricted collection, 2,100 books deemed too subversive, too toxic, too scandalous for eager minds. These books, principally concerned with sex, made up the Phi collection, bearing the Greek Phi on their spines like a mark of sin. But things are different now, and these books are proudly on display at the Bodleian in the Story of Phi Restricted Books exhibit that opened on November 15th. From WBUR Radio Boston, more than words in the South End is a bookstore with a mission. Tens of thousands of books lined tall wooden shelves at the newly expanded More Than Words bookstore in the South End of Boston, which opened in September. And finally, on Wednesday from LitHub, why have writers neglected elderly lovers? On Desire and Longing Later in Life.
Thursday.
Top story from the New York Times, Glamour magazine to cease regular print publication. Yet another women's magazine is moving away from print. Condé Nast, the legacy publisher of glossy and aesthetically rich magazines like Vogue, Vanity Fair, and The New Yorker, announced on Tuesday that it was ending regular print publication of Glamour. Two moves foreshadowed the change. Last year, Condé Nast reduced Glamour's frequency to 11 issues a year from 12, and in January, the company installed a digital journalist, Samantha Berry, as the magazine's new top editor. Although the number of Glamour's paid subscribers has remained stable over the last 3 years, at around 2.2 million, Ms. Berry said it was time for the publication to break away from the printed page. The editor added that the magazine might still publish occasional print issues centered on its annual Women of the Year award or topics like power and money. Online access to Glamour will remain free for now. It has not been determined how the special print issues will be made available. Also in the news on Thursday from The Guardian, is contemporary poetry really in a rotten state or just a new one? Rose Tremaine and Robin Robertson have criticized poets for abandoning craft, but that argument silences the possibilities offered by new voices. From Arizona State University, ASU acquires rare book from Golden Age of Spanish Literature, an extremely rare first edition copy of a 17th century literary work by one of the world's most fascinating female writers, has found a home at Arizona State University. From the bookseller, authors criticized YouTube's rallying cry against Article 13. The Society of Authors and a number of writers have criticized YouTube for emailing its users saying Article 13 would prevent them from uploading videos. And finally, on Thursday, from the Toronto Star, Canada Comics Open Library will give Toronto a permanent space to celebrate sequential art. The comics of the library will be part of a non-circulating collection, and the group plans to charge an annual $5 membership fee in hopes of making the service sustainable. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by...
This podcast is brought to you by Photolemur. Now is the time to get their Black Friday offer and save 83%. Make all your photo memories awesome with Photolemur 3 and save them for life in a printed photo book. Get Photolemur 3 Family License, the number one automatic photo enhancer that makes all your photos great with the help of artificial intelligence. Impress everyone with the amazing styles for your photos available in Photolemur with free styles. Then save your best memories for life in a printed photo book. Altogether, it's a $141 value available for only $25. You only have between now and November 29th to take this offer. So click on the link in the show notes or visit audio.as21.com and click on the banner link there for Photolemur and save today. And you're going to like the way your photos look. Check out Photolemur today.
Friday.
Top story from Good E-Reader. Michelle Obama's Becoming is BNN's fastest selling book of the year. Barnes & Noble has announced that Michelle Obama's Becoming had the biggest first week sales of any book this year, surpassing Fear for the most copies sold, as well as having the best first week start of an adult book in over 3 years. This comes at the time of year where the bookseller desperately needs more revenue during the holiday season. Last year, sales declined by 6.4%. Publisher Penguin Random House announced that Becoming sold more than 725,000 copies on its first day of release last week, the highest single-day sales of any book by the publisher this year. Becoming chronicles Obama's path from a child growing up in the South Side of Chicago to her time as First Lady of the United States. The book also features Obama's harshest public criticism of President Donald Trump. Also in the news on Friday, from the Wall Street Journal, Game of Thrones creator George R.R. Martin assures fans writing is coming. The author says he's hard at work on The Winds of Winter, the long-awaited sixth installment in the fantasy series that spawned HBO's huge and popular Game of Thrones. He's offering a series prequel out this month in the meantime. From the bookseller, Beaver urges writers consider Emirates Lit Fest boycott. Historian Sir Anthony Beaver is boycotting the Emirates Festival of Literature in Dubai next March in protest of a treatment of academic Matthew Hedges and has urged other British authors to consider doing the same. From the Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, few black-owned bookstores exist in the U.S. Lexington just saved one. The survival of Wild Fig Coffee and Books was never a sure thing. In August, after 3 years in business, the owners, writer Crystal Wilkinson and Ronald Davis, announced plans to sell or close up shop by the end of September. But community members who had found a home there weren't about to let that happen. From openair.eu, inauguration of the EOSC. The European Open Science Cloud is officially launched November 23rd during an event hosted by the Austrian Presidency of the European Union. The inauguration marks the conclusion of a long process of consultation and reflection with stakeholders led by the European Commission. And finally, on Friday from The Atlantic, an open letter to Elena Ferrante, whoever you are. The pseudonymous author has said all along that her identity lies in her writing. Rachel Donadio has followed the literary clues. Here's where they've led her.
Saturday.
Top story from Global Voices, dissident novelist Close Call casts a shadow on Hong Kong's once vibrant cultural scene. Attempts to block a controversial Chinese novelist from speaking at the Hong Kong International Literary Festival last weekend raised fears about the future of artistic expression in Hong Kong. Ma Zhang, whose books have been banned in mainland China since 1987 and who has been living in exile in the UK since 2011, was due to appear November 10th to take part in one debate about Hong Kong literature and another to discuss his latest novel, China Dream. The novel takes a political swing at Chinese President Xi Jinping and was described by publisher Penguin Books as a biting satire of totalitarianism that reveals what happens to a nation when it is blinded by materialism and governed by violence and lies. The book's Chinese version will be published in Taiwan in 2019. Ma has not found a publisher in Hong Kong, but this comes as no surprise. In 2015, five Hong Kong booksellers vanished and were revealed to have been detained by Chinese authorities. One of those booksellers is still being held, according to Amnesty International. All five were known for carrying books that covered politically sensitive topics. 2 days before Ma was due to speak in Hong Kong, the event venue, Tai Kwun, a newly renovated art and cultural hub, reneged on the booking and asked the festival organizers to relocate Ma's talks. Also in the news on Saturday, from the bookseller Changing the Script, John White, Vice President of Global Services and Marketing at Page Magic, discusses the benefits automation could offer the publishing industry, and it's far more than fiscal. From PR Newswire, Tencent and National Museum of Brazil collaborate on a digital museum. Tencent, a leading provider of internet value-added services in China, today announced its support to restore the Fire Tamets National Museum of Brazil by reproducing artifacts based on digital information. From the Irish Times, how can the arts serve social awareness and activism? A beautifully crafted, painful story like harvesting can be a springboard for important social conversations. From The Guardian, Jonathan Franzen was mocked for sharing his writing tips. Me? I'm all ears. Hadley Freeman writes, these tips invariably say a lot more about the author than they do about writing. And finally, closing out the week from the CBC, participating in NaNoWriMo, Anoush Irani recommends focusing on your main characters. Stay with your main character. Chekhov said it really well. The main character is the center of gravity in your story. If you feel stuck, uncertain what to do in terms of plot or language or how to move forward, just go back to the main character. What is the wound of the main character? What does the main character want? What are they afraid of? Those are the questions. Stay with the character. And we'll be right back after this message from our sponsor with the bestseller list from Fiona the Computer.
This episode is sponsored by...
The holiday season is upon us, and it's time that you have to start thinking about what to get your friends and family. So we here at AS21 always like to offer, why not, give a book. This year, our annual Give a Book campaign is once again partnering with Walls of Books in Washington, D.C. We'll have several events at the downtown D.C. location, starting with Literary Game Night on December 7th. So come on out to Walls of Books in the Parkview neighborhood of D.C. for Literary Game Night, where we announce all our other events throughout the month, including a poetry open mic featuring the poetry of Robert Frost. So be on the lookout, and remember, when you're thinking of what to get a loved one this year, why not give a book?
Hello, this is Fiona the AOS21 computer. Here's the New York Times bestseller list. Sales for the week ending the 17th of November. Combined print and ebook fiction number 1, Look Alive 25 by Janet Ivanovich. Hardcover fiction number 1, Look Alive 25 by Janet Ivanovich. Paperback trade fiction number 1, The Tattooist of Auschwitz by Heather Morris. Combined print and ebook nonfiction number 1, Becoming by Michelle Obama. Hardcover nonfiction number 1, Becoming by Michelle Obama. Paperback nonfiction number 1, Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari. Young adult hardcover number 1, The Hate You Give by Angie Thomas. Apparently the lovely people at Publishers Weekly are taking the week off. Well, happy Thanksgiving to them. Now back to Keith for the Home Report.
Thank you, Fiona. And now for the Home Report. This past week was the Thanksgiving holiday, followed by Small Business Saturday. We encourage all of you to shop small every day, as supporting small businesses helps your community grow. Visit americanexpress.com/shopsmall for more information. AS21 merchandise is available on tpublic.com. The direct-to-garment retailer features designs from several AS21 podcasts and titles. Plus, they had a great Black Friday sale going. So visit the store today by clicking the link at as21.com or visit tpublic.com/store/AS21-market. AS21 Audio has renewed its call for listener feedback. You can still fill out surveys for the AS21 podcast, such as this very podcast right now. Visit surveys.as21.com and you'll be awarded with 21% off at the AS21 market and enter for a chance to win a $25 Visa gift card. But also take a moment to click over to iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, or whatever podcast service you're listening to and leave us a review. Good or bad, these reviews help us reach a wider audience and can also help us as we develop new programming and sponsorship opportunities. Like what we're doing, leave 5 stars and a short review. Not so much. Leave however many stars you feel are appropriate, but then tell us why in the review. We appreciate any and all feedback on our podcast series. The Publish Me podcast shared 3 footnote episodes this week, recorded live at the Blue Ridge Writers 2018 Book and Arts Fair in Charlottesville, Virginia. Each footnote features a different author sharing their work and giving advice for new writers as part of NaNoWriMo 2018. Find Publish Me on Podomatic, everywhere else you get your podcast, and audio.as21.com. In the week ahead, we'll be sharing updates from our podcast network. To find out early, sign up for the weekly email at as21.com or facebook.com/as21. There will be more footnote episodes of Publish Me throughout the week, so be on the lookout. The holiday season officially kicked off once all the dishes were done. The weekend spending bonanza wraps this week with Giving Tuesday, where you're encouraged to donate to the charities of your choice. We'll be sharing our favorite throughout the day on the AS21 Facebook page and Twitter feed. The lovely ladies of Two Girls, One Joint will be back this week with their next episode, Exploring Edibles. Find Two Girls, One Joint on Podomatic, everywhere else you find your podcasts and audio at AS21.com. As always, be on the lookout for other AS21 podcasts and video series throughout the week by following us on Twitter at AS21 or on Facebook, facebook.com/AS21. Remember, you can support this and the other podcasts of the AS21 podcast series on Patreon. Support today starting at just $1 a month, and you'll get access to a creative-only blog with news directly from our creators, special episodes of some of the podcasts you love, and other wonderful special gifts. Go to patreon.com/AS21 and become a patron of the arts today. Also, remember, you can sponsor this and the other AS21 podcasts through AdvertiseCast. We have various rates available, ranging from 15 seconds up to a minute, as well as special bonuses such as postings on AS21 Twitter account and our Facebook pages. Thank you for listening to the Literary This Week podcast. We are now available on Spotify, so welcome to all Spotify subscribers as they listen today. Otherwise, you can find our podcast on Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn, and our home on the web, audio.as21.com. Copyright 2018, AS21 Media, LLC. All rights reserved. AS21 Media. What do you want your story to be?